Hard to believe, Craig. Tomorrow is Friday. It's also hard to believe that the Crushers, the Lake Erie Crushers, open up their season tomorrow. And to give us a little preview on that and how things are going, it's Andy Bobarch who joins us this morning. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, guys. How we doing?
We're doing okay. Opening day. Are you ready for this? I don't know if they'll need mittens with the games, but it starts another season of Lake Erie Crushers. And I understand for tomorrow, the Southern Illinois Miners are coming to town. But for the first time in a number of years, we've got the same manager coming back. So a little continuity this year.
Yeah, that's a nice change of pace for sure. But this is the first time since 2012 when John Mazzarelli ran the team that they're going to have the same manager back for a second year in a row. So that's nice and refreshing to have the same skipper back and, you know, with the same manager, a lot of the same philosophies are still in place. And for the most part, a lot of the same personnel is going to be in place also. Let's just hope that for tomorrow, as you said, nobody needs their mittens and that we still have some sunshine tomorrow. We can wave some of those showers away and we can play some ball.
Well, you mentioned about the fact that there are more players returning. So continuity is a key. Is that sort of unusual, I suppose, in the Frontier League?
Yeah, it is, just because of the different rules and regulations and classifications for all the players involved. I mean, to bring the entire team back is unrealistic. It's almost impossible the way the league is set up. But they're able to bring back a lot of the same guys. Now, one name that all Crusher fans are familiar with is Andrew Davis. For the first time in franchise history, he will not be back because he exhausted his Frontier League eligibility at the end of last year. But just because Davis isn't back, that still doesn't mean that this team won't be competitive. I mean, they've got one of the best pitching staffs in the league. They've got a very good defense to go along with it as well. So most of the experience on this team lies within the pitching staff, and I think that's really where the strength is going to be.
We finished for the above 500 for the sixth straight season last year, but take us back to the end. How did our season end last year, and what can we build on for this year?
Well, at the end of last year, the Frontier League decided that they were going to switch things up a little bit, and they were going to go with six teams in the playoffs with a couple of extra wild cards. And that provided the Crushers and a spot to kind of slip in there. And that also marked the first time in franchise history that they made the postseason in back-to-back years. Now, in that play-in game, that wild card game, they ended up losing to the eventual champions, the Schaumburg Boomers, in a very, very close ball game. And I think that's kind of where they're at right now. It was a game where they didn't score a whole lot of runs, but they didn't surrender many runs either. And I think that's the kind of team that we're going to see, at least early on. You know, as this thing continues, you do see a number of pieces evolve. But I think, at least at the beginning, you have a lot of experienced arms on the staff, and I think that's where they're really going to build. I think the bullpen's still going to be very strong. A lot of the familiar faces that you saw a season ago that are returning, again, are on the staff. I mean, there are going to be some new position players. There's a handful of guys that you may recognize from last year as well, at least on the opening day roster. But I really think that's what they're looking to build on. They're looking to build on the success, not only of last year, but the last 2 years of having one of the absolute best pitching staffs in the entire league.
Well, I know in years past, recently we've had a couple of players from outside the country. Anybody like that this season?
You still have your core group of guys from outside the states that will return. Emmanuel Quiles, the catcher. You've got a couple of natives of Venezuela and third baseman Anderson Hidalgo and the shortstop Juan Sanchez. Both of those guys will be back, and they're probably going to hold on the left side of the infield with Hidalgo at third and then with Sanchez at short. Sanchez can also play some center field, but those are the three guys that really kind of come to my mind as far as guys that are coming here and really being mainstays from outside the states. And those guys not only have a wealth of experience now in the Frontier League, but they came to the Crushers a couple years back with a wealth of experience in the affiliated ranks as well. So those are the three guys in that regard that come to my mind.
How do the Crushers and other teams in the Frontier League become aware of these players from other countries?
Well, I think if those guys have a lot of experience in affiliated ball, that's the first place where that kind of stands out. And it's a little unusual to see those guys get into the Frontier League without any experience in the affiliated ranks, just because those guys normally break in somewhere else before they break into the Frontier League. And that's all done via international scouting, obviously, with the big league clubs having much bigger budgets, and they aim for that sort of thing. If those guys don't work out with their affiliated club, that's usually how they end up in the Frontier League. Their agents will make some contacts, or a lot of times, you know, as was the case with all three of the guys I just mentioned, Hidalgo, Sanchez, and Keelis, those guys either played against or played for former Lake Erie Crusher Jeff Eisen, who signed all three of those guys prior to the 2013 season.
We're talking this morning with Crusher's play-by-play announcer Andy Bulbarch. The season opens up Friday against the Southern Illinois Miners. What can you tell us about the Miners, or is it too early to kind of get a scouting report on some of the teams?
Well, the Miners have been run. We were talking about continuity a little while ago. I think they are the model for continuity, as they've had the exact same manager ever since they launched their franchise about 10 years ago in Mike Pinto. And he's been a very successful manager year in, year out in this league. Every year that I've been in the Frontier League, and, you know, that goes back to the beginning of the 2011 season, they've not had a losing record. He puts competitive teams on the field every single year, and it seems like he does it differently every single year. So, you know, I think at least at the beginning of the year, it's hard to tell what the team has on paper just because he's had some turnover from last year. But if you look at what his teams have done over the last five seasons, it's hard to look at it and say, you know what, there's no way this team will be competitive this year, because Mike Pinto's produced winning teams year in and year out. They actually won the Frontier League's Eastern Division last year. As a matter of fact, as strange as this is, the Miners ended the regular season at All-Pro Freight Stadium last year, and ironically, they're going to start this season at All-Pro Freight Stadium against the Crushers. But when they were in town at the end of last year, they clinched in Avon. So it's a really good franchise. I mean, like I say, we talk about stability. That's the model of stability in the Frontier League, Mike Pinto in Southern Illinois.
Can the Crushers open the season Friday, Saturday, and Sunday? Friday is the fireworks night, top 40 music hits, bike night on Saturday. And Sunday now, it's Carnival Day, but they've got a new start time. I guess it's at 2 o'clock. Is that what our Sunday will be like for the season when we have home games?
Yes, 2:05 starts for Sunday. They changed it up a little bit last year. After going with 5:05, they changed it to 1:05 last year. And then they opened things up to the fans to see what they kind of thought, and they came to the conclusion that 2:05 would be best. They figured that fans wanted it to be a little later than 1:05, but a lot of fans didn't want it much later than 2 o'clock. Personally, guys, I'm a huge fan of some day baseball. I love 2 o'clock starts. I wasn't opposed to a 1 o'clock start. I just think that you have to have that one day of the week where you play during the day. I think schematically it makes things a lot easier for all parties involved, because of the way the schedule is set up for the Frontier League. Every single season, I mean, every series during the season is going to end on a Sunday. So for the Crushers, you know, you get done a little bit earlier. That gives you Sunday evening, and because you've got Mondays off, it gives you Sunday evening, and it gives you Monday to kind of get ready for that next road trip, or in some cases, that next series. And for the visiting teams that come in, it gets them out of here a little bit earlier. It gets them back to their respective city at a more reasonable time. And I just think there's nothing like day baseball. There's absolutely nothing like it. I think it's a tremendous experience. And if you can get that at least one day out of the week by playing at 2 o'clock, I think that benefits everybody.
Well, you'll warm it up at the All-Pro Freight Stadium with the Crushers home series against the Southern Illinois Miners. And then there's some road work going on, I should say, on a road trip. And then the MAC tournament comes to Crushers All-Pro Freight Stadium there as well. So there'll be a lot of baseball in the next couple of weeks as we get into the warmer weather. Bull, we thanks you for the time, and we look forward to hearing more of your calls and a lot of the jackety jack jacks, if I could borrow
a
phrase from you, Bull.
Hey, you know what else we have to mention before we let them go? Of course, we'll have a lot of the Crusher games right here on AM 930 throughout the season, but with Tim Alcorn joining you, of course, Ron Polinsky as well, but I understand that you will be joining our Tim Alcorn from the dugout.
Yeah, it was nice of Tim to let me come along for the ride on May 26th. I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be really awesome. You know, Tribe against the Rangers. I mean, last night, Corey Kluber lit it up, 18 strikeouts, and finally got out the Schneid. Let's hope that's the start of some new results for Corey Kluber, because he certainly needed that. I think he finally got the monkey off his back last night, and let's hope that's the sign of some good things to come for Corey Kluber and the Tribe, because they, boy, they really need to turn things around, do they not?
Absolutely they do. Bull, we'll talk to you again throughout the season, and thanks for sharing a bit of your time this morning. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Have a great weekend.